Good morning. John Paul is preaching in Ohio this morning, so y'all got me. I'd like to talk about the story of David and Goliath. Now, of course, for those that probably grew up going to church as a kid, I'm sure you're probably pretty familiar with the story of David and Goliath. It's one of those stories that, seems like for a variety of reasons, it's often talked about in kids' classes and, skits and VBS and whatnot. But, as I thought about it, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be rarely used as a subject for Sunday mornings. And which is unfortunate because there's definitely some great lessons to be learned from the story of David and Goliath. Now, the story of David and Goliath can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And to kind of summarize the story, you basically had the Philistine army and the Israelite armies. They were lined up against each other to go to battle. And Goliath, who was the Philistine champion, we're told stood at 6 cubits and a span, which, according to my footnote, means he stood at about 9 feet 9 inches tall. And it goes on to describe, his armor and how much it weighed. And I imagine the weight was probably put in there to show, how impressive this armor was and how much, strength it would take just to even be able to wear this armor. But, of course, as we just read, Goliath would come out every day and, offer up a challenge to the Israel army. And, but as we heard, no one from the Israeli army came out because they were all afraid. And this had gone on for about 40 days, and in the meantime, David's father had sent him to the front lines to bring bread to his brothers, because David's three oldest brothers were in the army. And of course, David, he hears this challenge from Goliath, and, starts asking some of the soldiers about it. And he goes to Saul and says, I'll fight Goliath. And initially, Saul, didn't think that was a very good idea because, David was just a youth. But David, explained to him, when I was watching my father's sheep, a bear came along and I killed the bear, and a lion came along and I killed the lion. God protected me from those animals. He'll do the same for me against Goliath. And initially, Saul tried to give, David his armor and whatnot. But, David, it was too big for David. He wasn't really used to it. So he said, I can't use this stuff. So he ends up going out there with 5 stones, a sling, and a staff. And, of course, when Goliath sees him, he's like, what's this kid with a stick doing out here? And he throws a bunch of insults at him. And David basically replies saying, you're coming after me with sword and spear, but I'm coming after you in the name of, the God of Israel. And sure enough, David sunk one of the stones into Goliath's head, ran up there, grabbed his sword, killed him, and cut off his head. And, of course, once that happened, the Philistine army, they took off running, and the Israel army took off after him, and for all the slow runners that couldn't make it back to the city, they got killed by the Israelis. So, or Israel army. So anyway, and even nowadays, when you hear the term David and Goliath, a lot of times you hear it in sports. If the UCM Mules basketball team went down the road to KU, played the Jayhawks, and they beat them, that would shock everybody, right? That'd be, you'd hear a term, "Oh, David." David slew Goliath, UCM beat KU. It's just kind of used as a big, underdog, taking on the big guy, so to speak. And, from a worldly point of view, that's kind of understandable. But, if you look at it from, a spiritual point of view, David wasn't the underdog at all, was he? Because he had the Lord on his side. Matter of fact, Goliath, he would have had to ratchet up a couple knots just to meet the status of underdog, because in my mind he stood zero chance. Because I'm pretty confident in saying that God was going to use David to kill Goliath, and there wasn't anything Goliath could do about it. So just anyway, so what lessons can we learn from this story today? Well, needless to say, I think there's a lot of different lessons, and probably they're kind of multi-layered like lessons often are. And, kind of to use some old Air Force terminology, you know, to look at it from the 30,000 foot point of view, you know, it's probably really all about, you know, David's faith in God, right? And but you know, for today's lesson, I want to kind of maybe bring it down to, you know, 10,000 foot view, so to speak, and say that, you know, we need to be able to overcome fear. You know, after all, if you look at the entire army of Israel, I mean, you know, you got to figure, you know, some of those soldiers had some faith in God, right? I mean, you'd like to think that the majority of those soldiers had faith in God, yet they let their fear override that faith. And, you know, how often do we see that today? You know, I'd submit that, you know, if we're honest, you know, honest with ourselves, we probably see that on a regular basis. You know, so how does fear affect our lives today? Well, obviously it affects, you know, everybody differently. But, you know, several years ago there happened to be a song out that was popular on Christian radio. And the title of that song was, Fear is a Liar. And I think it has some, you know, good examples in there about how fear can affect us. Looking at the lyrics of that song, it goes, He told you you're not good enough. He told you you're not right. He told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. He told you you're not worthy. He told you you're not loved. He told you you're not beautiful. You'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. He'll rob you of your rest and steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire because fear is a liar. Of course, you know, these things that I mentioned, or mentioned in this song, just kind of scratch the surface of the effects that fear can have on us as Christians. So the question is, you know, how do we overcome these fears? Well, I have five suggestions on that. And you may ask the question, well, why five suggestions? I figured, well, you know, David had five stones. So I figured, you know, five stones, you know, good number there for a number of suggestions as well. So, stone number one, know your value. In Matthew 10, 29 through 31, we read, Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of much more value than many sparrows. You know, focusing on how valuable we are to the Lord, you know, will go a long way for us to help to overcome our fears. You know, just a little while ago, we took the Lord's Supper, you know, kind of acknowledging the fact that, you know, God was willing to sacrifice, you know, His Son Jesus, and Jesus, you know, was willing to be a sacrifice for us. You know, this should, you know, make it obvious about how much we are valued. But unfortunately, you know, the world has a way of, you know, tearing us down, and we can sometimes lose focus on, you know, how valuable we are to God. But if we, you know, if we can maintain that focus, you know, it will help us to overcome our fears. Now in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we read, Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. You know, if I was to guess, you know, what's the number one fear that most people fall victim to? You know, I would say that, you know, fear of what other people think. Or to put it in a more broader sense, you know, fear of, you know, going against, you know, what our society considers normal. So what can we do to combat this? Well, that brings us to stone number two. And that is refocus our fear on where it really should be. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, we read, Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then in Hebrews 13 and 6 we read, So we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, no matter, you know, what we do, you know, no matter how healthy we eat, no matter how much we exercise, our life here on earth is temporary. So we need to remind ourselves, you know, should we spend our limited time here on earth, you know, fearing those who, you know, in the worst case scenario could bring about a physical death, which, you know, we're all going to experience anyway. Or do we fear the Lord our God who will determine where we spend our eternity? You know, in the adult class last Sunday, played this little video clip of a preacher who was giving what I call the red rope example. He had this big old long rope. He kind of went to the side of the stage and drugging this big old long rope. And he said, you know, imagine this rope just goes on forever and ever. Represents eternity. It just, you know, keeps on going, never stops. Then on the very end of the rope, he had painted it red. And he held up the little red part and he said, this part represents your life here on earth. And he said, so many people, they're just so focused on this little red part and they don't even think about, you know, the rest of the rope. You know, they said, well, you know, if I work really, really, really hard, you know, during this part, you know, then I can enjoy this little part, you know. And then he says, and they think we're crazy for worrying about the rest of the rope. Well, they're the ones that's crazy. I mean, he's like reeling this rope in, you know. He's like, you know, we're worried about this length, big old long rope, you know, and they're worried about this little bit of it. You know, just kind of a fun illustration on, you know, where our focus, you know, should really be. So, stone number three. Listen to the Spirit. In John 14:25-27, we read, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, when it comes to the Spirit, you know, it's kind of been my experience that, you know, it seems that's a subject for you know, some people is, you know, just hard to, you know, completely understand. And I certainly don't consider myself an expert on the subject. And perhaps, you know, maybe if you feel that, you know, you don't maybe understand the Spirit as well as you should, one thing I would suggest is that, you know, we constantly strive to study the Word of God. As I just read in John 14, you know, the apostles were told that the Holy Spirit will teach them and give them remembrance of the things that Jesus taught them. Now, needless to say, you know, we don't have the advantage of being taught by Jesus in person like the apostles did, but we do have their inspired recordings of his teaching, you know, that we can look at again and again. I believe if we study those teachings, you know, it will lead us to become, you know, more in tune with the Spirit, so to speak. And since it is a spirit of, you know, power and love and of a sound mind, you know, it can help us to overcome our fears and, you know, make us willing to fight those Goliaths that we face in our life. Okay, looking at stone number four, love. You know, David obviously loved God. You know, we're told that he was a God or a man after God's own heart. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, we're told, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, is kind of known as the love chapter. And, you know, it points out very clearly that, you know, without love, you know, the rest of this doesn't really matter. You know, it says, you know, you could have the gift of prophecy. You could have, you know, faith that moves mountains. But, you know, without love, you know, that other stuff wouldn't really matter. So it should really come as no surprise that love plays a key role in overcoming our fears. You know, as we just read in 1 John, you know, there is no fear in love. You know, perfect love, you know, casts out the fear. You know, doesn't get much clearer than that. And as a matter of fact, in the past, you know, we've had, you know, the subjects of love has been a topic of, you know, the morning class. And that class, you know, lasted several months, you know, just on that one topic of love. So needless to say, in just a minute or two, I couldn't hope to adequately cover the subject. So I will just say that we should always be, you know, striving to get to the point where, you know, we truly understand and appreciate God's perfect love. For, you know, it goes without saying that, you know, if we can, you know, get to that point, then we will, you know, have nothing to fear. Because, you know, as we just read, that perfect love will cast out that fear. And the last but not least, stone number 5, faith. You know, as I alluded to earlier, you know, was David's great faith, you know, played a big part in giving him the confidence to know that he had no reason to fear Goliath. In Matthew chapter 8 and 26, we read, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Mark 4 and 40 tells us, 'But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And then in Luke 8, 25, he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" And then in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Well, as you can see from these verses, you know, fear and lack of faith, you know, are, you know, linked together. You know, especially the verses we read in the gospel, you know, when the apostles were afraid, you know, Jesus' response to that is, you know, where's your faith? You know, when it comes to faith, you know, oftentimes the definition of faith that we turn to is in Hebrews 11 and 1, where we're told, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Of course, much like the subject of love, you know, faith is a pretty far, broad and far-reaching subject. So I'll just try to kind of conclude by saying, you know, as we mature as Christians, you know, if we are continually striving, you know, to obey God, to do His will, you know, to be more loving, to be more Christ-like, you know, to listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, then our faith will increase and we will find ourselves much better equipped to overcome the many fears that, you know, may have gotten our way in the past. You know, in the Sunday morning adult class, we're looking at 1 Peter, and a couple weeks ago we talked about the fact that, Peter is a good example of this, you know, because we all know, you know, one of the things that Peter is known for, unfortunately, is, you know, denying Jesus 3 times, right? But then, you know, as he, you know, received the Holy Spirit and as he grew in his faith, you know, you look at Peter's life in Acts, and he's, you know, very bold when it comes to proclaiming, you know, the name of Jesus. He's, you know, although he's, you know, not perfect, just like any human, he's overcome those fears for the most part. And he, you know, is willing to preach, you know, the good news regardless of the consequences. Because as we read in Acts, you know, he gets thrown in jail. And, of course, as tradition tells us, he ultimately gets killed, you know, for his beliefs. So we can, you know, look at Peter's example in that as well. Well, of course, you know, there are many other stones out there, so to speak, that can help us to overcome our fears. But it's my hope and prayer that the lesson that I presented today will, you know, give you some food for thought when it comes to, you know, our battle against fears and how those fears, you know, can often hinder us. But, you know, obviously with God's help, you know, we can overcome those fears and serve God better as well as serving each other better. Well, this concludes my lesson for today. If there's anyone who, through the study of God's Word, has determined that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that and be baptized this morning and to begin your walk as a Christian, or perhaps you just have some prayer requests that you would like to make known at this time, we offer this time to give you the opportunity to come forward and make those requests known as we stand and sing the invitation song.